Hello everybody, welcome back to my channel. Well, I'm delighted that there's been some good news out of the United Nations Security Council, and I can't say that me lifting my voice for this can do it, but you know, many millions of people around the world demanded a ceasefire in Gaza because this Gaza war has been going on for, you know, coming up for 6 months now. Now, you could trace it back to the 7th of October attacks, when about 1,200 people were killed in Israel in one day, most of them civilians, and around 300 people taken hostage into Gaza by Hamas, the Islamic Resistance Movement. Now, many of the hostages have been exchanged for Palestinians who were captives in Israel. Some of the hostages who were freed claim that they were tortured and raped and so on, which is not entirely incredible. Anyway, so Israel has attacked back into Gaza. But when did this conflict actually start? Would you trace it back to 1948, which the Palestinians call Al-Nakba, the catastrophe, which is obviously Israeli independence? Is it the Zionist movement before that? Or is it to mistreatment of Jews by Christians and Muslims down the centuries? You know, you could go back as far as you want. Anyway, there was much dispute about who started it, whose fault it is, and so on. But I don't know who's suffering. It's obviously mostly Palestinians. Now, the Gaza Ministry of Health, which is run by Hamas, claims about 32,000 people have been killed in this conflict, Palestinians, overwhelmingly civilians. Now, that figure is likely inflated, but it's at least several thousand civilians have been killed. There's no doubt about that. And the United Nations is on the ground there, as well as, you know, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and so on. They publish very detailed authoritative reports on this sort of thing. So it's a very dispiriting situation. And okay, I mean, I know a war necessitates killing people. That's what it's about. But obviously you should be killing combatants and not non-combatants. And if the combatants surrender, okay, you take them prisoner, treat them humanely. And no, you don't have to give them a big sloppy kiss, but you're not to torture them. You're to provide them with a minimum of water and food and shelter and medical care and all the rest of it. And there is a superabundance of evidence that the Israeli Defense Force is often not doing that. There's video footage of them torturing and humiliating people. And there's been wanton destruction of mosques and graveyards. And I know Hamas has done similar things, but Israel says we're a democracy. The IDF has the nerve to say it's the most moral army in the world. And I realize in the wake of many of the civilians killed, some of these Israeli soldiers would see red and say, well, we're going to do some terrible things back to their people because they did it to our people and stuff like that. They're only human. And the thing is, Palestinians would use the same argument that they treated our people so abominably. So many of our civilians being killed, our people have been captured by them, accused of being militants or terrorists, as the Israelis would say. They've been treated with such cruelty. So obviously it brings out the worst in people. And, you know, it's very difficult for people to restrain their emotions. It's difficult to distinguish claim from counter-claim. Certain things are not disputed. The United Nations Security Council decides what international law is. There are attempts to get this. Now, the United States vetoed a couple of attempts. Then China and Russia shockingly vetoed the things they'd earlier voted for. Why? For entirely cynical reasons. Just to wrong foot the United States, to try and extend this conflict, to distract the United States and the Western world from Ukraine or Taiwan and things like that. Russia's always played both sides of the street on this one. And Netanyahu's been closer to Putin than many other Israeli politicians. So Benjamin Netanyahu, that utterly loathsome prime minister of Israel, the longest serving prime minister they've ever had, served about 14 years as prime minister, but not continuously, in various different terms with hiatuses in between. And he was really on the ropes politically when the 7th of October came along, bitterly unpopular, huge protests against his attempt get himself overweening power. And astonishingly, he's managed to stay in office precisely because of this war. But his personal popularity is at a very, very low ebb. And for a partisan advantage is stringing out this war. And there are increasingly deafening cries for a ceasefire from large segments of the Israeli public opinion. Particularly, they want the hostages freed. And Netanyahu says, no, we're going to annihilate Hamas. You can never guarantee to wipe out an organization like this. You know, is it acceptable to kill one civilian if you're going to kill one Hamas fighter? What if it's two civilians per Hamas fighter? What, three, four, five, ten? You know, they've, by any measure, they've killed far more civilians than they have Hamas fighters. And that is against international law. These are not surgical strikes, as the IDF pretend them to be. They deliberately cut off food from the civilian population, and that there's malnutrition. And yes, they have allowed a few aid trucks in. Is that many for presentational reasons? And so on. Even when the Israeli government said they can go through, some Israeli civilians have blocked these aid trucks. So it's a horrific, situation. And obviously, I'd like all hostages to be released unconditionally. And then some of the Israeli ultra-nationalists are viciously anti-Arab and anti-Muslim, said to drive out all the Palestinians, from which even Israel recognizes is Palestinian soil, so that they can take over more of Gaza and so on. Anyway, so Israel is going against international law by doing this. So the Biden administration had tried diplomacy behind closed doors, pleaded, beseeched, threatened the Netanyahu administration that that wasn't happening, despite repeated public assurances from Benjamin Netanyahu that the IDF would adhere to international humanitarian law. It has persistently and obstinately flouted it. So on a gross scale, leading to just incalculable suffering. Anyway, and I realize that, you know, not every accusation is going to be true. You have to retain some detachment and not leap to judgment. But anyway, I'm surprised there's actually just not more fury about it around the world. And so many more people have been killed in Gaza than in the Ukrainian conflict, civilians, especially if you bear in mind the population in Gaza is only about 2.5 million. And the IDF will say, oh, they're using human shields. Well, I mean, even they're not deliberately using human shields, because it's so densely populated, inevitably civilians are very close to Hamas fighters. Now, some would use the word terrorist. There's the Ahuri adage that one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter. Although Israel and many Western countries have designated Hamas a terrorist organization, much of the world doesn't see it that way and say that they're militants or partisans, or some people even regard them as liberators. So I'm afraid to say they're heroes to a significant segment of the Islamic world. They're viciously Judeophobic. So this health warning ought to go without saying that no one should be mistreated for his or her faith or nationality or ethnicity or anything like that. But sadly, there are a lot of people who are blinded by hatred. And of course, Benjamin Netanyahu is creating more and more of it. Now, the bedrock of Israeli foreign policy for decades has been this very cozy relationship with the United States. The US always wielded its UN Security Council resolution in Israel's favor, but not this time. Netanyahu has pushed them too far. He's damaged relations with the United States. And then in response to this, he snubbed Biden by refusing his delegation to have a meeting with U.S. officials. I suppose Netanyahu is praying for the Trump administration to come back. He may well get his way. But if that doesn't happen, he's on a bit of a sticky wicket because he's damaged relations with the USA. And if the United States really turns against Israel, then Israel is really up shit creek without a paddle, because they buy so much weaponry from the United States. The United States funds them. And okay, Israel's actually quite a rich country now. I know Israel's got its own military manufacturing industries, but there's the diplomatic support, there's intelligence sharing. And if they're to lose all that, then Israel's position would be an awful lot lonelier. It doesn't have any other firm allies anywhere around the world. So anyway, I do hope we see a ceasefire now. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon. Goodbye.